My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's Wednesday. It's your hump day. It's our hump show. After Hours with Amy Lawrence means so much to so many different people. And I especially love it when you listen the entire show. I know that doesn't apply to the majority of listeners, but I think some of my favorite posts on our social media sites, whether Twitter or Facebook, are meant to be critical, and yet they make me so happy. Like when people tell me I spent an entire show talking about my dog or my grandmother or my wedding or my honeymoon, which doesn't happen. But they tell me I spent the entire show talking about topics that were unrelated to sports. And my first thought is, wow, I love that you listened to the entire show. Thank you for sticking with us for 4 hours, no matter what I talked about. Right? Or the more recent one that we got on our Facebook page, which again cracked me up. A man wrote in to criticize the bunny conversation, and his comment on Facebook was, I really love your show, but 3.5 hours about bunnies is too much. Now, that's a gross exaggeration. We did not talk about bunnies for 3.5 hours. However, we did get more calls about bunnies than anything else we've done in sports over, say, the last month, probably since the Super Bowl. Oh, no, since Shohei Ohtani, since Ipe Mitsuhara. That's the last time we got that many phone calls. So it's Ipe and then it's bunnies, right? That's what you're all excited about. Anyway, I couldn't resist having a little fun with him, just telling him thank you for being such a devoted listener that no matter if we talk bunnies for 3.5 hours, he still listens to the entire show.
It's quite the compliment.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment. I couldn't ask for a better compliment. So here we are, navigating our way through Tuesday night into a Wednesday morning. And while it's not all of you, some of you, you insist on listening to the entire show just so you can bitch. It's tremendous. Thank you so much. Here's a little clue. Those machines, those computer programs that keep track of ratings, they actually don't know if you love or hate the show. They just know you're listening. Well, see, that makes my Wednesday brighter. Hello!
My own little bunny rabbit.
I will love him and squeeze him and call him George. Come on, I need to hear that part. That's the other part, Jay.
I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
Right. Except I'm a little bit nervous now. People have asked. Jay, you know, because you saw both the posts on Twitter and Facebook. How many times did people ask about the bunnies? What's the bunny update?
Constant.
Right. Well, I'm a little bit nervous because my husband saw a chipmunk darting out of the grass sanctuary that we have around them. And then when I was looking on Tuesday evening, now granted, I did not move the fur or move. Now there's tall grass that's been kind of folded over. It's like Mama Bunny was running around in the grass and folding it down over the nest. But I couldn't see them moving. So I'm a little bit worried. After Jay Googled it, because you know the internet is never wrong. After Jay Googled it and indicated that chipmunks do in fact eat small animals, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm going to have to go poke around and make sure they're still.
Well, did he look
Hello,
mischievous?
Are you awake down there? Well, I didn't see him. The husband saw the chipmunk.
Because that's important here. Like, if he looked like he was up to no good, or if he was just trying to get out of the way, if he saw the bunnies and was like, oh, clearly that spot's taken. Let
or
me
maybe,
dart out of there.
Maybe Bob scared him enough that he darted into the tall grass to try to get out of the way or to hide, and then he darted out the other direction.
That's what I'm thinking maybe happened.
Yeah. I might have to build a fence around the nest. It's been turning into a huge project. But the bunnies...
They're your pets now.
No one's naming bunnies. No one's keeping bunnies. We're not turning into a bunny sanctuary. I just want them to survive long enough for Mama to take them off to another yard. Just
sounds like a sanctuary.
Go explore. All right. So good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know, we try to keep it fresh. If you are listening for all 4 hours, we generally don't ever say the same thing more than, say, 6 times. But you would know that if you're listening for all 4 hours. Eastern Conference Finals underway. And boy, if we get 6 more games of what we got from Celtics and Pacers last night, I dare say there's some Celtics fans that might have heart palpitations become a fairly regular thing, especially considering the history with the Celtics the last couple years. So this is their 3rd straight Eastern Conference Finals. Last year, running into the buzzsaw that was Miami. The year before that, of course, getting to the finals, but then losing to the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they've had a bunch of disappointment. It was actually kind of jarring. I'm not sure who I was listening to. Maybe it was Grandy and Max, or maybe I was still listening to TV at the time. But somebody made the point that Drew Holiday is the only guy on the Celtics who has a championship. But then you think about how constant the Celtics have been over the last few years, going back to when Brad Stevens was the coach. And now here they are in a position where they can finally capitalize. We think Kristaps Porzingis will return by game 4. That's the report from Adrian Wojnarowski and others, which is good considering they traded away Marcus Smart to get the dude, and now he's sitting on the bench. Anyway, calf injury notwithstanding, could be back midway through this series. The Celtics have everything to lose, like as in everything. They're the best record in the NBA all season. In fact, I dare say they didn't spend more than 3 days outside of first place in the Eastern Conference. Maybe it was 4 days. They have been the big bad in the NBA all season. The question in the East has been, who will battle Boston? Who will step up and battle Boston? And that goes back to, say, November, December. We had just talked about this with the Edmonton Oilers last night, but it is beyond championship or bust for the Celtics, especially given some of the more high-profile failures for their two superstars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And so going into this game 1, to see them race out to a 12-0 lead, the Garden was fired up. Whether it was their energy, feeding off the crowd, just antsy to get back to work and pursue this next championship banner, they have the whole thing working exactly the way they want it. First 12 points. But if you watch the Pacers, you know the Pacers. First of all, they've got guys who can shoot. Second of all, they have a lot of speed. They're very athletic. Was it Jaylen who said after the game? Maybe it was Jaylen who said after the game that you don't really realize it. You can watch it on tape, but not until you're in the middle of a game with the Pacers do you understand how fast they are. So yeah, they find their footing. They reel in the Celtics. They're tied at half. Big shots by both teams. But really more about the Pacers, just the stunning nature of them being able to erase a 12-point deficit right off the top and then tied at halftime. Then they come out of the halftime locker room. What happens? Same thing. Celtics go on a 13-0 run. So that's obviously something that Rick Carlisle will want to address. You can't always expect that you put yourself in a double-digit hole against the best team in the league and you're going to be able to come back. But they were still shooting the lights out. They were shooting better than 60% from the field into the second half. And honestly, as much as the Celtics have the potential to go on a run, if you noticed, to start that second half, what really was the issue? The Pacers' turnovers. That's how the Celtics were able to build that lead again to what was the largest, which was 13 points. But it didn't take long before the Pacers were able to clean up how they were taking care of the basketball. So not so careless. They were rebounding well. There were multiple possessions in the second half where they had more than one offensive rebound. They're active. They're balanced. I know Tyrese Halliburton's their best player, but they can hit you and hurt you a variety of ways. And that made for some very entertaining basketball in the second half. It's After Hours here on our, I almost said it, here on the Infinity Sports Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're just going to go with the safe phrase, the one that I've been saying now for almost 12 years. Let's get to the end of this fourth quarter because it was delicious. The type of moments that kind of make your jaw drop open. What? What just happened? And it's only game one, right? The Pacers led by five with under 2 minutes to go. Andrew Nembhard with, I think it was a three-pointer at 1:57 left in regulation that put the Pacers up by five. Celtics score, but it's Nembhard again. A jumper with 46 seconds to go that leaves them up by three. So that's really the scene where we have to pick it up with these moments that, what? Pacers up three now. They're playing good defense. As I say, they're fast. They're active. They're athletic. They're forcing the issue. It's their ball with a 117-114 lead and only 10 seconds left on the clock.
Nembhard gets it into Siakam. He deflects it out of bounds. That's Boston ball. The Pacers did the unthinkable, and they turned it over.
That's impossible. Impossible.
The ball went right off Siakam out of bounds. And how many chances are the Pacers going to gift the Celtics to get back into game one?
The basketball
gods. This thing was over.
Not the basketball gods. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. It's one of those moments that you would expect from a high school team or that you would expect from a team that isn't used to pressure. You would not expect that from a pro basketball team. This was not complicated. Pascal Siakam had plenty of room. He was trying to track down a leading pass. It was a pass that was leading him, right? Leading him toward an area where he was supposed to be able to catch it and corral it, and they would take it up court, or the Celtics would have to foul to stop the clock, which was more likely. Instead, the pass is just off his fingertips. It's just out of reach. He's got a defender on his hip, but not enough that the defender was going to be able to step in front and grab the ball. Just, it's inexplicable in that moment that pro basketball players could make that kind of mistake. But these are still human beings, which is why I always like to point out that analytics, they can tell you what might happen, but they don't measure nerves. They don't measure anxiety. They don't measure humans in a pressure cooker and what might happen and what could possibly go wrong. I mean, this is, what, half an inch too far out in front of Pascal Siakam. And he didn't have great position anyway. And because he's got a really long arm, he's the last one to touch the ball. It's his long arm and long fingers that give the ball back to the Boston Celtics.
A gift and a curse.
Otherwise, it's off the Celtics, and it remains Pacers possession, and they have an opportunity to do it the right way. And so it's Celtics ball now. It just gets better. That's the part that I love about playoffs, postseason, really in any sport, is that you get these kind of moments and it seems like everything just hangs in the balance. And so the Pacers are still up by three, but the Celtics have got the ball.
Off the inbound. Holiday's got it. No timeouts. He's got to get it in. Throws to the corner. Jaylen forces it up over
Siakam.
He tied it. He did it. Jaylen Brown from the corner with 5.6 to go. And the Pacers have given away game one for the moment. Oh. Now, can they steal it back?
And Brown is saying he got fouled. down as he shot this basketball. Let's see. It could have been.
Jalen was done in the corner. He put it back in his pocket. Siakam put his hands behind his back so he wouldn't be called for a foul. Jalen forced it up and over him, falling to the ground with a three that has tied game one with 5.7 to go.
And it easily could have been called in. Oh, my goodness. No. No way.
There are no words for how unspeakable a loss this would be for the Indiana Pacers if it gets away.
Good momentum play that we was able to turn them over and get an extra possession. And that led to a great draw. Drew made a great pass. D. White set a good screen. And the rest was it. The rest was history.
This loss is totally on me. With 10 seconds in regulation, we should have just taken the timeout, advanced the ball, and found a way to get it in and made a free throw or two and ended the game. But it didn't happen, and we made some other mistakes, but our guys just need to concentrate on fighting the way they fought in this game from start to finish, and we'll be back Thursday.
You hear the voice of Rick Carlisle, so I'm kind of throwing in some post-game there just because this was such a significant moment for Jaylen Brown. That game-tying three comes with mere seconds left on the clock, essentially forces overtime. If you have not seen the aerial photo, and by aerial I mean from the roof, the ceiling of the Garden, it's pretty amazing. You got to find it because you can see not just Jaylen in the far corner as he launches the three, but you can see the crowd lose its mind. It's just one of those moments in sports that gives you chills, and it always reminds me about the power of sports to unify. Now, granted, inside this home arena, the majority of these people, they have a lot more in common than, say, a group from Seattle and a group from Boston. But still, sports bring us together across party lines and socioeconomic lines and language and cultural barriers. Age doesn't matter. Where we come from, that doesn't matter a whip. In those moments, what matters is we are unified by our team. And I love that unique quality of sports. Anyway, Pacers have the inbound blunder. And then you hear Rick Carlisle say, gosh, that's on me. I should have called a timeout. Why didn't I call a timeout? Now, his players come back and say, hey, that's not it. This is not on him. But there were a couple of different things that you know the Pacers could have done differently. And maybe they do one of those things, and the outcome is not what it was last night. Because not only do they turn the ball over with 10 seconds to go, and it really just felt like a little bit extra anxiety zip, if you will. It's just humans, right? Humans make mistakes. But then when the ball gets inbounded to Jaylen Brown in the corner, it was a screen by Derek White that slows up Pascal Siakam. It's not one of those screens that you see at midcourt where a guy gets rocked. It wasn't that. In fact, I'm not even sure that he made contact with Pascal. They're both moving, but Siakam has to kind of step around him, get around him, follow Jaylen to the corner. Now, here's the interesting part. A lot of basketball peeps would say, why aren't you fouling? There's a few seconds left on the clock. You're up by three. Why are you giving up a three? Why are you allowing Jaylen Brown to shoot a three? Instead, foul before he ever gets in that position. At the most, he gets two free throws. Well, that actually was the instruction by Rick Carlisle. He was supposed to foul, or they were supposed to foul. I don't know, Siakam especially. But because Brown got the ball, it would have been Siakam's responsibility.
He caught the ball and he was faced up, so Pascal decided to lay off, which was, you know, I understand, you know, that's probably the right decision. You don't want to give up a four-point play.
Now, there was time, but I can understand him being really wary of fouling Jaylen in that moment. I mean, there was time, though, because Jaylen kind of gathered the ball, almost like double-clutched, not quite, but gathered the ball, brought it down, and then shot it. And so Pascal did have time. But because he was running late, because Derek White ran interference and set that screen, Pascal didn't get there as quickly as Jaylen did, right? So Jaylen got to the corner, Pascal was trailing, and yeah, he got nervous, thinking that of course he's going to take a three. He has to take a three. They're down by three, and just tucked his arms behind his back and almost turned his shoulder away from Jaylen Brown. Anything but hearing the whistle. And man, Jalen, worthy of that moment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now on into overtime, still a bit of a back and forth until, well, it was Jason Tatum's turn to shine.
Now the Pacers wobbling. Can the Celtics throw the big punch as we go into the final minute of the overtime? Boston by one. Derrick White going slowly, straight away up top. Against Halliburton. Halliburton comes to challenge. Tatum sets the high screen. 10 on the shot clock. Derrick White down to left side. Pump fake. Kick out. Open. Tatum steps to his left. Three in the air. Got it!
Big boy, step up at the right time, man. Oh, Tatum. Yes, yes, yes.
Tatum's got it. It's in safe to the Drew Holiday. Finds White. Gets backdoor cut. Lays it in. Celtics by six.
Stick a fork in them. They're done now.
It really just felt like we had a second chance, right? We didn't, the end of the third and fourth quarter, we didn't necessarily play well enough where we like may have deserved the win, and obviously made some plays at the end. JB gave us a second chance by hitting that shot, and we just talked about it in the huddle, right? We got a second chance. Like, let's take advantage of it. Let's not mess around and let's figure out a way to win this game.
Jason Tatum with 10 points in overtime. In fact,
Tatum!
6 points in 30 seconds there in that final minute. He had a three-point play the traditional way, and then he hit that huge three from the top of the key. And he actually said in another quote that he would have been really upset if they'd lost the game because he felt like he didn't shoot well, and it would have been a lot harder to stomach. So for Jaylen Brown, for Jason Tatum, they've been in so many of these big moments, but they've also had some very notable failures. They came through in this game one, and the Pacers, obviously, they fumbled away a very, very critical opportunity for them. Just the fact that it was so close, I'm sure, can give them confidence, but you got to get over that loss first. We'll hear a little bit from the Pacers, as well as a little bit more from the Celtics. Drew Holiday, they say a champion in his past, a season-high 28 for him. So yeah, we're off and running in the Eastern Conference Finals. The West Finals tip off later on Wednesday. We've also got the start of the Stanley Cup Conference Finals with the East Game 1, and that's Rangers hosting the Panthers. A lot of fresh blood in the NHL as well, so it'll be kind of fun to see how these series wind down toward, let's hope, Game 7s, all of them. Just rack them up. Better phrase in sports than Game 7? I don't know. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
will come in from the baseline far side. Holiday will get it in. He'll get it to the corner. A three on the way. Brown, and we're tied. And that was not an easy shot.
No, it was not. Siakam's all over him. He does a great job of contesting. Stays down without fouling.
I don't know how he could have played it any better than that.
He couldn't have. He's dang there inside of Jaylen Brown's jersey.
So the Celtics have used a 7-2 run to tie the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was quite the tug of war in Boston for the opener of the Eastern Conference Finals. And you can imagine the Pacers feel like they let this one slip away. Actually, I was listening to Sean Grandy, as many people were, and he used the phrase Grand Theft Celtics, a play on the video game Grand Theft Auto, which is, of course, extremely popular. Another one that I don't know if he used this on the air or not, but another phrase he texted to me personally was heist of the century. So when I told him we were using his cuts and that, as always, he nailed it. He wrote back heist of the century. I mean, it is tough to do. You have to really work hard to lose a game when you're up three with 10 seconds to play and you have the ball, right? So it's different if the Celtics have the ball. That's not all that odd if they would tie the game. But if you're down three, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's re-airing on the studio TV in front of me, and there are about 39 seconds to go, and the Pacers are sitting on that three-point lead. Oh, so much happened. Yeah, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jrue Holiday, huge piece of last night's game. A season-high 28 points for him, along with 8 assists. And he'll do whatever the Celtics need him to do.
Just continually being aggressive, continually working on my game, continually having the coaches and my teammates in my ear telling me that they're going to need me.
They definitely do need him for a lot of things. Defense, handling the ball, that championship poise and presence, obviously. But the way that he was aggressive at attacking the hoop, some really big shots for Jrue Holiday in this opener. As for the Pacers, well, you heard Rick Carlisle take the blame for game one, saying, I should have called a timeout with 10 seconds to go. We could have had the ball at midcourt. And I didn't hear his explanation for why he didn't. Maybe just feeling like there's no way they aren't going to be able to inbound the ball, but of course there's always a chance. I say you take the midcourt inbound if you can get it. Why not? Maybe saving that timeout for another purpose. It just seems like now, in retrospect, that was a no-brainer.
That was the game. What are you saving it for, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or, again, if you're Pascal Siakam, why not quickly foul Jaylen Brown? There was time, although maybe in his mind, he just assumed it was better to be safe than sorry.
Should have just hugged him.
Yeah, well, he couldn't assume that Jaylen was going to make the shot. But yeah, the whole hindsight is 20/20, ifs and buts type of thing.
Well, you could see in Jaylen Brown's face, it looks like he thinks that Pascal's going to foul him. Like, he has that second where Brown goes, oh, is he going to foul? Oh, no, and he shoots it. So, eh.
I wonder if that went through his mind.
I looked like,
well, he's not going to foul me. I might as well take the shot. Tyrese Haliburton says, no way this is on coach.
That's not on him. That's not on him. Us as players, we got to do a better job. I had two bad turnovers that I feel like cost us the game, one in fourth and one in overtime. So, you know, I know, I understand he's protecting us, protecting, you know, me as well. But I'll take that more than he should. I got to be better, and I will be better in game two, and we'll respond the right way. I mean, we know we can play with these guys. I mean, that's for y'all to say that we don't, you know, there's a lot of people out here saying we don't belong here. We don't really care. We know we belong. I think it's discouraging just because of the plays that happened, you know, down the stretch. We feel like we were in position to win the game and just didn't win the game.
They have confidence, and in their minds, if they can mentally kind of wrap their brains around being so close, well, hey, can we go glass half full? We didn't win, but we rallied from two double-figure deficits. We had them right where we wanted them. Oh. Meanwhile, the Celtics snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. So tonight, Western Conference Finals and then East in hockey. It's all happening, peeps. It's all happening. This is nothing to do with either hoops or hockey, but during the last commercial break, I was just kind of going through the headlines and like the different topics to make sure we hadn't missed anything that I'd talked about. And I see Aaron Rodgers' name, and I know I did my CBS Sports Minute about him saying it was a real thing that he was considering a vice presidential candidacy. But did you also see the other quote that he had when he was facing the media? Almost said facing the music. When he was facing the media on Tuesday after practice, his quote was, "I don't want to go out as a bum. We need that. We're going to need that." Right? Because I can imagine the Pacers could say the same thing. Or even the Celtics. With everything on the line here, I don't want to go out as a bum.
It's fair, right?
You got to find that.
I will find that.
All right. I know you love your Aaron Rodgers quips. Bums, you can't cancel me. You don't have my number. You're not going to have my number. It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
It's really actually disturbing that you and I have these memorized. Let's move on, shall we?
He didn't even play last year. That's a whole year without using him, honestly.
He played 4 snaps.
You're right.
Let's be accurate about it, please. And he almost retired to run for vice president. The thing is, Aaron Rodgers can't handle losing. He's not a good loser. And so I would think he would only do something like that if he was sure he could win.
Absolutely. I agree.
He wouldn't want to be embarrassed by a loss.
I want to go out and go out as a bum.
I don't want to go out as a bum. All right, coming up. Hey, it was Walk-Off Central. Kind of fun. Also, Jay and I have decided we have a favorite rookie in Major League Baseball, and he's back on Wednesday, right? We've checked it out. Wait, is it Thursday or Wednesday?
I think it's Thursday.
Or Thursday?
Actually.
Oh, no. I was all excited. I built it up. I was ready, man. I was ready to pay off on the tees. Don't give it away.
Oh, no. I think it's Thursday, though, because it was a day game, I remember. So.
Oh, that's right. Dang it. All right, hit pause 24 hours from now.
I'll start the countdown.
We'll talk about our favorite rookie, but we've got other stuff. We'll divert you with shiny objects. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and your host is an idiot.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Seager drilling one deep out into right field. This one's got a shot. It is off the top of the wall. Home run or not, they're saying it isn't. Seager stops at second. The second base umpire, Sean Barber, gave the safe sign. It looked like somebody reached out with some food to try to catch that. And there's debris now along the warning track in right field. The umpires are going to discuss this. And Seager may be awarded a home run here.
I want to see the replay. I didn't think it was close. I thought it was easily a home run based on the fact it looked like it touched fans. And looking at the replay, Hixie, yeah, that hit a fan's nachos.
Well over the wall.
It was a nacho or a hot dog or something. A poor girl reaching to try and make a play. But it got to the people and then clear him back. That is easily a home run.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Okay, it's one of those moments in sports, it happens periodically, where the radio call just doesn't do it justice. And honestly, the TV call probably wouldn't either, but there's pictures, there's images to go along with it. The ball hit by Corey Seager lands right directly in this lady's nacho. So she is running a wall over center field. And for some inexplicable reason, instead of protecting and guarding her nachos, turning away from the ball, maybe holding them up in the air or putting them behind her, no, she reaches her container of nachos out to try to catch the ball. And when she does that, and it is a home run for Corey Seager after review, when she does that, it's a nacho explosion. So it's a great catch if what you're trying to do is secure the ball with your nachos. That's not really the name of the game, but the nachos go flying everywhere.
They explode.
Stuff flies up in the air. You've got stuff that hits the field down below her. I mean, it's a nacho disaster. like a nuclear, one of those nuclear plant type of accidents that have happened in our past. This is that. There's no recovery. There's radioactivity everywhere. Nachos everywhere. Yeah. It's Chernobyl. Oh, they certainly know it well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Phillies ultimately do end up with a win. But this moment on Rangers Radio, we thought that was highly entertaining. But again, if you watch the video, Jave, I don't know if you want to use like MLB Twitter, and you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. Until they zoom in, you don't exactly know what happened. You just know stuff is flying everywhere. And then when you realize it's her nachos, well, then it just adds whole different entertainment value. Right, it's cheese.
The right fielder could have got doused in cheese.
It's a cheese explosion. And we're not talking about cheese heads. Like in Green Bay, it'd be a little bit different. No, she reached out her, she sacrificed her nachos for this purpose.
I wouldn't do that. The nachos cost more than that foul ball would.
Exactly.
That home run ball would.
In fact, the nachos probably cost as much as your ticket does. So protect them at all costs. Yeah, this game between the Phillies and the Rangers was interesting for other reasons. It was Ranger Suarez who struck out 10 Rangers. Ranger versus the Rangers. He's now 9-0, and the Phillies are pacing the field in baseball. 35 wins now, and so this was over the World Champs in Philadelphia. The Corey Seager moment was probably my favorite, but I know for the Phillies, this is a dream come true. The start like this, I mean, they don't have to dig out of a hole, right? This time, you're actually just going to set the pace and maybe, just maybe, not have to worry about making up games or rallying from farther down in the NL East when you get to about midseason or even to the late stages.
I'm starting to think they like doing that.
Yeah, they enjoy the higher degree of difficulty.
I like the fight.
In this particular case, yeah, how about don't take the toughest road? Bryce Harper with a smash of a home run as well. And I mentioned walk-offs. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I know you all love the Houston Astros, so why not?
1-2.
Hit down the right field line. That's a base hit, and we're going home. Tucker scores. Jeremy Pena, the hero. Astros win it in the bottom of the 10th, 6-5.
Jay, are you one of those people that believes when you mention how a game is going quickly, or you mention that the game should be over in a particular amount of time, or, hey, it seems like we're going to wrap this up easily? And then it always turns into either extra innings or something happens that slows down the game drastically. Are you one of those people who believes that if you speak it into existence, there's such a thing as a jinx?
I am. Not particularly with that maybe scenario, but like say the perfect game, the no-hitter. I don't like the pitch clock, so I miss longer baseball games, to be honest with you. But yeah, in terms of like a guy's pitcher no-hitter, I'm not going to be the one to say it, no.
The thing is, you mentioning the words no and hitter in succession has zero impact on a guy who's in another state on the mound actually throwing the pitches.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But I'm not going to be the one to say it.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to be the mush. No way.
the what?
The mush.
The mush. All right. The mush. I don't even know how to explain that. Mushy, like an old banana?
Like the jinx, the bad guy.
But what's mush have to do with it?
It's just a term. Like, oh. Yeah.
Smush, mush, kush.
Similar.
Tush.
Right.
Bush.
I was trying to think of another one. That was good.
A mush. The Astros are getting plenty of firepower from Kyle Tucker. Been there, done that. But yeah, this was Jeremy Pena's RBI in the 10th. So the Astros get a victory over the Angels. I'm not even sure that's a fair fight anymore. Goodness. Without Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, he's unhealthy more than he's healthy. It's actually kind of sad. It's becoming one of those tales, one of those reasons why you don't give a guy a $500 million contract. Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, I know you all love the Astros. Had to make sure I included that. But
our whole focus is going to be to run the West down. And you can take that to the bank and deposit it.
That was Ron Washington before the season.
Uh-huh.
Not working out so well.
Yeah. I mean, he knew where he was going, right? He knew what franchise he'd signed up to manage.
He thought he was going to the Dodgers for some reason.
Oh, no. Why are we so disrespectful? don't know. People ask me sometimes, including my class at Syracuse, we do this exercise where I want them to describe the type of style they would like to have as a host. And I tell them sometimes it takes you a while to get to that point. You may start in one place and you kind of over the course of, this could apply to any athlete too, over the course of a month or a year, 5 years, 10 years of doing the same thing over and over again, you naturally hone your style and maybe it changes. It's a little bit like Josh Allen. Apparently that he's changed his throwing mechanics drastically in the offseason. That's the word on the street anyway. And so I tell them, you want to pick a style. If it works for you, great. You keep working on it, but sometimes it'll change. I mean, mine definitely changed. It took me years to decide what kind of style I wanted as a host or who I wanted to be on the air. Now, when people ask me, I say, irreverent. It's sports, for heaven's sakes. This is not life or death. People get mad at me sometimes when I make jokes about their team or I joke about a particular athlete. It's because I do not take anything that we do seriously. Okay, very little of what we do is serious, and none of it's important. You will never catch me calling this job important or treating myself as though I have some role of vast importance. Nope. I talk about sports and pets and food and relatives and all that kind of stuff. I talk about dumb stuff for a living, really. But sports do bring us together, as I said. And so it's kind of fun to tap into the entertainment. But irreverent for sure. Now, we didn't get to it tonight, but Jay and I have a few things we'd like to say about Joe Burrow's new hairstyle. Only because I kind of like it. It's summertime, man.
He looks good, I gotta say.
He should be allowed to do whatever he wants with his hair.
It's real? That's confirmed?
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is we actually haven't done our own research. I suppose the only way to do that would be either to pull his hair ourselves, or which we probably would get arrested for, at the very least a restraining order, or see someone else do it, or maybe see Joe do it.
Yeah, we need Joe to like run his fingers like through his hair at a press conference.
I mean, I can understand why having a... Shoot, I forgot what his injury was last year. It wasn't ACL. That was the first year. What did he do? Elbow?
Elbow? He started the season with the ankle, right?
He missed. Didn't he miss most of training camp?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Elbow. I'm going with elbow. Oh, wait. Shoulder? Elbow? Uh-oh. Knee?
Torn ligament.
In his...
That's where I'm lost. Yeah, it doesn't tell me.
Oh, okay. I feel like it's not football season, so these things we shouldn't be required to know.
Wrist? Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah, it does. Okay. I mean, we had at least the top half of his body initially.
Something was wrong.
Anyway, I can understand why having a wrist injury of sorts would prevent you from spending a lot of time on your hair. I can understand that, right? Can you understand that?
No. I have an injury with stop shedding hair. Yeah, I can skip it.
All right. I can understand that. All right. One more walk-off because, you know, it's hump day.
Michael A. Taylor pinch running at second. The pitch, Nick Gonzalez. Grounded up the middle and through. Base hit. Taylor tags third. He's on his way home. Matos' throw is laid in. The Pirates win it. They came all the way back from down four in the ninth. And on the first pitch of the 10th inning, they are walking off winners in Pittsburgh.
Eek. You know, we're talking about one of the elite closers in the game, and we just had quality at bat after quality at bat. And I think the biggest thing is you put pressure when you put the ball in play. You know, you put the ball in play and you run hard.
That's my favorite. My favorite synopsis. You put the ball in play and you run like the friggin' Dickens.
You put the ball in play and you run hard.
Run like you're a little leaguer until someone tells you to stop. Just keep running. Do you ever go to a Little League game or play in a Little League game where the kiddos, they just keep running?
Kid runs to third when he hits the ball in play? from home plate.
I don't recall that I ever did that, but maybe. Anyway, the kids just keep running. The play's over. It's done. The team's going off the field. It's there at bat. The kid's just still running. By the way, I'm going to go fake for the Joe Burrow hair, and we'll discuss later on. Enjoy your hump day. We'll be back tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's Seager, drilling one deep out into right field. This one's got a shot. It is off the top of the wall. Home run or not, they're saying it isn't. Seager stops at second. The second base umpire, Sean Barber, gave the safe sign. It looked like somebody reached out with some food to try to catch that, and there's debris now along the warning track in right field. The umpires are going to discuss this, and Seager may be awarded a home run here.
I want to see the replay. I didn't think it was close. I thought it was easily a home run based on the fact it looked like it touched fans. And looking at the replay, Hixie, yeah, that hit a fan's nachos.
Well over the wall.
It was a nacho or a hot dog or something, a poor girl reaching to try and make a play, but it got to the people and then clear him back. That is easily a home run.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Okay, it's one of those moments in sports, it happens periodically, where the radio call just doesn't do it justice. And honestly, the TV call probably wouldn't either, but there's pictures, there's images to go along with it. The ball hit by Corey Seager lands right directly in this lady's nacho. So she is running a wall over center field. And for some inexplicable reason, instead of protecting and guarding her nachos, turning away from the ball, maybe holding them up in the air or putting them behind her, no, she reaches her container of nachos out to try to catch the ball. And when she does that, and it is a home run for Corey Seager after review, when she does that, it's a nacho explosion. So it's a great catch if what you're trying to do is secure the ball with your nachos. That's not really the name of the game, but the nachos go flying everywhere.
Stuff
flies up in the air. You've got stuff that hits the field down below her. I mean, it's a nacho disaster. It's like a nuclear, one of those nuclear plant type of accidents that have happened in our past. This is that. There's no recovery. There's radioactivity everywhere. Nachos everywhere. Yeah. It's Chernobyl. Oh, they certainly know it well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Phillies ultimately do end up with a win, but this moment on Rangers radio, we thought that was highly entertaining. But again, if you watch the video, Jave, I don't know if you want to use like MLB Twitter, and you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. Until they zoom in, you don't exactly know what happened. You just know stuff is flying everywhere. And then when you realize it's her nachos, well, then it just adds whole different entertainment value. Right, it's cheese.
The right fielder could have got doused in cheese.
It's a cheese explosion. And we're not talking about cheese heads. Like in Green Bay, it'd be a little bit different. No, she reached out her, she sacrificed her nachos for this purpose.
I wouldn't do that. The nachos cost more than that foul ball would.
Exactly.
That home run ball would.
In fact, the nachos probably cost as much as your ticket does. So protect them at all costs. Yeah, this game between the Phillies and the Rangers was interesting for other reasons. It was Ranger Suarez who struck out 10 Rangers. Ranger versus the Rangers. He's now 9-0, and the Phillies are pacing the field in baseball. 35 wins now, and so this was over the World Champs in Philadelphia. The Corey Seager moment was probably my favorite, but I know for the Phillies, this is a dream come true. The start like this, I mean, they don't have to dig out of a hole, right? This time, you're actually just going to set the pace and maybe, just maybe, not have to worry about making up games or rallying from farther down in the NL East when you get to about midseason or even to the late stages.
I'm starting to think they like doing that.
Yeah, they enjoy the higher degree of difficulty.
I like the fight.
In this particular case, yeah, how about don't take the toughest road? Bryce Harper with a smash of a home run as well. And I mentioned walk-offs. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I know you all love the Houston Astros, so why not?
1-2.
Hit down the right field line. That's a base hit, and we're going home. Tucker scores. Jeremy Pena, the hero. Astros win it in the bottom of the 10th, 6-5.
Jay, are you one of those people that believes when you mention how a game is going quickly, or you mention that the game should be over in a particular amount of time, or, hey, it seems like we're going to wrap this up easily? And then it always turns into either extra innings or something happens that slows down the game drastically. Are you one of those people who believes that if you speak it into existence, there's such a thing as a jinx?
I am. Not particularly with that maybe scenario, but like say the perfect game, the no-hitter. I don't like the pitch clock, so I miss longer baseball games, to be honest with you. But yeah, in terms of like a guy's pitcher no-hitter, I'm not going to be the one to say it, no.
The thing is, you mentioning the words no and hitter in succession has zero impact on a guy who's in another state on the mound actually throwing the pitches.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But I'm not going to be the one to say it.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to be the mush. No way.
the what?
The mush.
The mush. All right. The mush. I don't even know how to explain that. Mushy, like an old banana?
Like the jinx, the bad guy.
But what's mush have to do with it?
It's just a term. Like, oh. Yeah.
Smush, mush, kush.
Similar.
Tush.
Right.
Bush.
I was trying to think of another one. That was good.
A mush. The Astros are getting plenty of firepower from Kyle Tucker. Been there, done that. But yeah, this was Jeremy Pena's RBI in the 10th. So the Astros get a victory over the Angels. I'm not even sure that's a fair fight anymore. Goodness. Without Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, he's unhealthy more than he's healthy. It's actually kind of sad. It's becoming one of those tales, one of those reasons why you don't give a guy a $500 million contract. Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, I know you all love the Astros. Had to make sure I included that. But
our whole focus is going to be to run the West down. And you can take that to the bank and deposit it.
That was Ron Washington before the season.
Uh-huh.
Not working out so well.
Yeah. I mean, he knew where he was going, right? He knew what franchise he'd signed up to manage.
He thought he was going to the Dodgers for some reason.
Oh, no. Why are we so disrespectful? I don't know. People ask me sometimes, including my class at Syracuse, we do this exercise where I want them to describe the type of style they would like to have as a host. And I tell them sometimes it takes you a while to get to that point. You may start in one place and you kind of over the course of, this could apply to any athlete too, over the course of a month or a year, 5 years, 10 years of doing the same thing over and over again, you naturally hone your style and maybe it changes. It's a little bit like Josh Allen. Apparently that he's changed his throwing mechanics drastically in the offseason. That's the word on the street anyway. And so I tell them, you want to pick a style. If it works for you, great. You keep working on it, but sometimes it'll change. I mean, mine definitely changed. It took me years to decide what kind of style I wanted as a host or who I wanted to be on the air. Now, when people ask me, I say, irreverent. It's sports, for heaven's sakes. This is not life or death. People get mad at me sometimes when I make jokes about their team or I joke about a particular athlete. It's because I do not take anything that we do seriously. Okay, very little of what we do is serious, and none of it's important. You will never catch me calling this job important or treating myself as though I have some role of vast importance. Nope. I talk about sports and pets and food and relatives and all that kind of stuff. I talk about dumb stuff for a living, really. But sports do bring us together, as I said. And so it's kind of fun to tap into the entertainment. But irreverent for sure. Now, we didn't get to it tonight, but Jay and I have a few things we'd like to say about Joe Burrow's new hairstyle. Only because I kind of like it. It's summertime, man.
He looks good, I gotta say.
He should be allowed to do whatever he wants with his hair.
It's real? That's confirmed?
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is we actually haven't done our own research. I suppose the only way to do that would be either to pull his hair ourselves, or which we probably would get arrested for, at the very least a restraining order, or see someone else do it, or maybe see Joe do it.
Yeah, we need Joe to, like, run his fingers, like, through his hair at a press conference.
I mean, I can understand why having a... Shoot, I forgot what his injury was last year. It wasn't ACL. That was the first year. What did he do? Elbow?
Elbow? He started the season with the ankle, right?
He missed. Didn't he miss most of training camp?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Elbow. I'm going with elbow. Oh, wait. Shoulder? Elbow? Uh-oh. Knee?
Torn ligament.
In his...
That's where I'm lost. Yeah, it doesn't tell me.
Oh, okay. I feel like it's not football season, so these things we shouldn't be required to know.
Wrist? Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah, it does. Okay. I mean, we had at least the top half of his body initially.
Something was wrong.
Anyway, I can understand why having a wrist injury of sorts would prevent you from spending a lot of time on your hair. I can understand that, right? Can you understand that?
No. I have an injury with stop shedding hair. Yeah, I can skip it.
All right. I can understand that. All right. One more walk-off because, you know, it's hump day.
Michael A. Taylor pinch running at second. The pitch, Nick Gonzalez. Grounded up the middle and through. Base hit. Taylor tags third. He's on his way home. Matos' throw is laid in. The Pirates win it. They came all the way back from down four in the ninth. And on the first pitch of the 10th inning, they are walking off winners in Pittsburgh.
Eek.
You know, we're talking about one of the elite closers in the game, and we just had quality at bat after quality at bat. And I think the biggest thing is you put pressure when you put the ball in play. You know, you put the ball in play and you run hard.
That's my favorite. My favorite synopsis. You put the ball in play and you run like the friggin' Dickens.
You put the ball in play and you run hard.
Run like you're a little leaguer until someone tells you to stop. Just keep running. Do you ever go to a Little League game or play in a Little League game where the kiddos, they just keep running?
Kid runs to third when he hits the ball in play? from home plate.
I don't recall that I ever did that, but maybe. Anyway, the kids just keep running. The play's over. It's done. The team's going off the field. It's there at bat. The kid's just still running. By the way, I'm going to go fake for the Joe Burrow hair, and we'll discuss later on. Enjoy your hump day. We'll be back tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.